Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and today we begin our program by looking at solar power. Two guests for you, Don Wickert of Madison, Director of Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program. Don, great to have you back.
Nice to be here, Larry. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Carl Segrist is with us by phone from Milwaukee. He's Director of Renewable Energy at We Energies, which, with Focus on Energy, is co-sponsoring this weekend's conference, Wisconsin's Solar Decade, 2005 to 2015. And Carl, great to have you with us. Thank you for taking time.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you very much for having me. I wish I could be there in the studio with you.
Yeah, I wish you could too, but that's all right. You sound crisp and clear on the phone, and that's the main thing.
Excellent.
Let me give the number again. If you have a question about the conference or about solar power, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I was driving a friend home from fishing and noticed a home with, I think there were six solar panels that were actually set up along the side of the house in an open field. And he was telling me that those panels follow the sun around.
Mm-hmm.
They turn on on cloudy days. Mm-hmm. They do different things on cloudy days. And I was just it was amazing to see. Are we seeing a lot more of that, Don?
Yeah, we sure are, Larry. We now have over 600 applications of solar electric installations in Wisconsin and a similar number of solar water heating in the state. We're seeing our markets grow about 80% here, so it's really taking off in Wisconsin. And this is a great time to get involved in solar, and this conference is sort of the best opportunity for anybody to learn where they might fit in, either doing something on their house, creating a business, putting something on their business as well. We've got a terrific agenda for the Solar Decade Conference. We've been doing this for 5 years now. When we started this, we really thought by the end of the 10 years, solar would probably be competitive with fossil fuels. We're getting there right now. Mm-hmm. And on the conference, we've got 12 different sessions covering the gamut of from beginners to experts to businesses. We've got 28 speakers there, 22 exhibitors, and the exhibitors include Focus on Energy, We Energies, installers, people who can answer just about any questions. And I also want to plug our two keynote speakers. We have probably two of the most fascinating and knowledgeable people in the country, if not the world, who are going to be our keynote speakers. We've been trying to get these people for 5 years, and basically,
got them this year.
Yeah, and we got them this year. And actually, thanks to Carl, who's has some good contacts with the national players. Larry Komersky is the Director of Science and Technology Partnerships at the National Renewable Energy Lab, sort of the best place in the country doing research on solar electric. And Larry's been involved for over 30 years in sort of the creme de la creme of solar technology. So he's really fabulous. The other guy is Travis Bradford. He's the president and founder of Prometheus Institute for Sustainable Developer. The guy is fascinating. He is right on the cutting edge. He's the guy that capital people go to find out who to invest with, and he's really on the cutting edge. He's written a number of books, The Solar Revolution, The Economic Transformation of the Global Energy Industry. He's a professor at the University of Chicago. We're really delighted to have both of these. It's going to be a fantastic conference. I really hope some of your listeners can come on Friday, Friday.
It's a one-day conference.
It's a one-day conference. It's at the Midwest Airline Center in Milwaukee. And it's easy to register, though, solardecade.com. And for your listeners, we're offering $25 off on the admission price by putting in WPR2009 in the registration form.
And I just want to remind the listeners as well that the online registration closes at noon tomorrow. So
Not a lot of time.
So if you are going to go ahead and register online and get that, it's $125 for the day, but with the WPR2009 discount code, it's $25 off that. So it's only $100. It includes a nice breakfast, a lunch, and as Don mentioned, these fabulous speakers. And they're really, I sort of think of them as sort of tag teaming, even though Larry will be speaking at lunch as the keynote, and Travis will be kicking things off as the morning keynote speaker. Travis really is more on the business side of things. He's lectured at a number of leading universities. He's an adjunct professor right now down at the University of Chicago, so we're lucky to have him this close. Ordinarily, he's in the Boston area. And then Larry is a PhD in electrical engineering. He'll be talking more about the science and technology of PV, but Larry is also a very engaging and entertaining speaker. I first met him at a conference, maybe 2001, 2002, and he was one of the most really fantastic speakers, entertaining and enlightening speakers I've ever heard.
Well, it sounds like a great conference, and we'll talk some more about it as we move along today, certainly. I know we'll have questions from listeners about it, and we have some callers online, as a matter of fact, with some questions as well, so we'll go to the phones. You can join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, or email us as well. That's fine, at talk@wpr.org. And let's take a call. John in Germantown. John, hi.
Hello, Larry. I'm actually up north right now, but I live in Germantown, and they went to the Parade of Homes out in Exonia this year, and they featured a green building, and the one home there had solar panels on the roof and actually had the turning, I think it was for water, solar panel in the backyard, and they said for the month of July for family of four, Wisconsin Electric paid them about $400 because they made power and they were able to sell it. And I'd just like to ask the guests to speak about how viable this is in homes.
I'll listen on the radio. It's really an option. It's certainly not for everyone. Solar power is still, or the capital equipment is still fairly high. There's some great federal tax incentives right now. There's some nice incentives, some focus on energy. There are some utility incentives available as well. But it really does work in Wisconsin, and I think that home out there just demonstrates the fact that even though we don't have the same kind of solar resource as California or the desert, you don't have to be in that particular climate in order to make solar work. And there are some homes in Wisconsin and other buildings in Wisconsin that are essentially what we think of as a net zero energy home, so that at least on the electricity side and the water heating side, it produces on an annual basis as much electricity or as much hot water as it actually needs. And in that case of that particular home, on a summer day, if there's not a really large load at the home, it can be exporting power back to the utility. And there's something in Wisconsin called net metering. So for a PV system that would typically be on a home, any time that it's producing power in excess of what the homeowner might need, the meter essentially runs backwards and the customer gets a credit at retail rates.
I might add, Larry, that there's all sorts of different options to use solar in your house or business. As you were saying when you started the show, there's an option of having the panels off of your house,
right.
And on the side, you can also integrate them into your roof if you need to, or you can put them on your roof as a retrofit. I heard over in the next 35 years, 70% of all homes will be retrofitted in some way. So that's a good time to look at the solar option as well. Though it's easier on a new home, and we're seeing a lot of innovation with new homes now to incorporate solar in the design of the home.
I'm trying to think. So actually on your home, you could actually have the solar panels turning as well?
Well, you can. Yeah, that's called a track. Well, not necessarily on the home. Usually those are trackers which follow the sun throughout the day are located on a pole off of your house somewhere. Mm-hmm. We have those where I work, and they're pretty good.
Let's turn to Jim in McGregor, Iowa. Jim, hello to you.
Hello. I had a question pertaining to a tracking system. I know there's been some recent information about problems that could occur if a nuclear blast was detonated in the air and sent a shockwave that would destroy the ability for computerized systems to function properly, which is hard to imagine. But if it would occur, if you had a tracking system with a hookup to your on-grid system as well, would that tracking system be able to function in the event that the online grid was disrupted, which, according to a show that was on public radio recently, they indicated that they could even potentially disrupt the grid for up to 2 years before it could be properly repaired.
It's an interesting question, and it's one I've never really heard before, but personally, I think the least of my concerns, given the scenario you just presented, would be whether my solar photovoltaic tracking system was working or not. But more to the question, with a grid-tied system, unless there were battery backup with separate critical loads in the building running off the combination of the PV system and the batteries, all the modern inverters that convert that DC power coming off the solar panels into AC power so it can be grid-tied are set up so that if the grid drops, then it shuts off the solar power because generally there's not enough solar power to run the house, and it gets into some electrical engineering details that I'm not really prepared to talk about. But the bottom line is, I don't think I would be concerned about my solar panel in the case of a type of a nuclear weapon going off.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I know it sounds ridiculous, but nonetheless, I think it is something that a person who is considering solar power might want to be aware of, that it might give you the ability to retain a minimal electrical energy in the event that the grid was off.
No, and that's absolutely true. And there are a handful of customers here, and I know in other parts of the country where the electricity supply is not as reliable, where there may be more outages, that there are customers that will wire certain critical loads, for example, maybe their computer, something, or their television, maybe a refrigerator, so that those would be on one circuit that would isolate in the event that the grid would come down and there would be battery backup to run at night, and in the daytime the solar panels would charge the battery. So you're absolutely right. If there was a long outage, it's certainly possible for to mitigate some of that loss during some type of a disaster, whether it was human-made or Mother Nature.
Well, I wonder, remembering when the grid went down out east, that would probably be, when was that, a few years back now? It was off for a while, and if a person would have had solar set up the way you describe it, Carl, I probably would have been a big benefit.
Right, and I think I read somewhere that there was one of the precincts, police precincts in New York somewhere, and it may have been in New York City, they had, in fact, had solar and batteries for some of their critical loads for communication at that precinct house, and I guess it was the only spot within a number of miles where there was still some lights on and still some activity, because they were still able to, to dispatch people and see what they were doing there, which is probably not a bad idea. But I also think that there's other backup generators that are available for emergency responders, police and fire and hospitals and so on in those types of situations. So solar would be just one of several ways to provide that backup power.
Mm. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. We're visiting about solar power today and the solar conference that's coming up, this Friday, titled Wisconsin Solar Decade 2005 to 2015. Our guest, Don Wickert, Carl Segrist. Don is director of Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program, and Carl directs renewable energy at We Energies, which, with Focus on Energy, is co-sponsoring this week's conference. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll take some more calls as we visit with our guests, Don Wickert and Carl Segrist, about solar power and the Solar Power Conference. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Denny in Oregon next. Hi, Denny. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for this appropriate program, and thank WPR for doing all of these various renewable energy initiatives that's so important to us. As a member, as a past participant in the conference, and I'll be there Friday also, I look forward to talking and learning a lot. But one thing that I'd like to hear is I attend a lot of classes at MIRA, up there in Custer, and is what's the ratio right now for saving, the rule of thumb ratio of conserving energy versus producing it? That's my first question, the ratio I'm talking about, money expended. The second question is, since education and awareness is so important, has We Energy or one of the big energy producers thought of offering to its customers the energy monitoring systems? I'm not talking about the little plug-in one that you have to plug in every little appliance, but the whole house wireless monitoring that is so good for kids and the family to help them learn and conserve energy. And their cost right now is like $149. It's a Blue Line product. And I'm wondering if We Energies or anybody is considering offering a group buy on those. I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. We'll turn to you first, Don.
Yeah, let me take the first one. I'll let Carl answer the second one. In terms of the ratio of the effectiveness, cost effectiveness, say, of energy efficiency versus renewable, our rule of thumb is usually it's three times more cost effective to do energy efficiency first. So we really push that and suggest that before people start thinking about installing a solar electric or solar water heating system in their home, they really need to look at how they're using energy right now. Do they have the most efficient refrigerator? Are they using Energy Star appliances? Have they switched most of their bulbs to fluorescent bulbs? So energy efficiency, number one, renewables, number two.
Well, and just to kind of build on that, I think one of the things that we always try to tell people, and whether we're talking to them on the phone or if we're doing some of the workshops that we do have for homeowners and business owners on renewable energy, is we say, well, if you want to meet some percent of your annual electricity use with solar, we're going to tell you how to cut the cost of that system in half. And of course, everyone leans forward to listen how they're going to get that secret tip. And of course, the solution there is reduce your load by 50%, do energy efficiency first. Put in compact fluorescents. If you buy a new appliance, try to buy an Energy Star appliance. By reducing some of that electric load, then you can still meet the same percent of that annual electricity use with a downsized or a half-sized solar PV system, thus saving you 50%. Regarding the monitoring, it's an interesting question, and it's one that all utilities have thought about for a long time. I think as the so-called smart grid moves forward in this country, there's going to be more opportunities for all energy users to see in real time the amount of energy they're using and what it's really costing. And on a personal basis, I've always been in favor of providing price signals to people so they really have a sense of what it is that they're consuming and how much they're paying for it. We do have some online tools at our website that customers can go to and use. It's not exactly as you described, but on our website, just let me give you the shortcut both to the energy efficiency part of our website and the renewable energy part. It's www.we-energies.com, then /EE for energy efficiency or RE for renewable energy. And I think if you follow some of those links, there's a lot of advice on both energy efficiency and renewable energy there.
Run that by us once more.
It's www.we-energies.com/, and then the letters either RE for renewable energy, or you could put in EE for energy efficiency.
All right. Thanks, Denny. Appreciate your call. And Michael in Wanakee, you are next. Hi, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure.
I'm a recent home buyer, and I guess my question is more tactical versus, you know, trying to solve the world's energy problems here. But I'm actually interested in getting in on a small level with some kind of renewable energy. You know, mainly, you know, everyone talks about the solar water heater. You know, put it right towards the water heater. You know, what's the easiest way to get involved with somebody locally to get that kind of set up in my new home? Or, you know, do you have any tips as right now? Is like, how do I, you know, get in on the ground level and invest in something like this? And I'll take my response off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Larry, probably the easiest thing for the listener to do is to get a site assessment. It's one thing that Focus on Energy does, and we pay 50% of the cost of it. And what happens is by going to our website, focusonenergy.com/renewable. You can sign up for having a third-party certified inspector come to your house to give whoever it is an idea of where they could put panels, how much they might cost, who the contractors are, what type of incentives are available. And I think that's the easiest thing that the caller and others can do to start finding out specifically for their own home what's going to work for them. And it is sort of an individual process. It depends on if you have trees in front of your house, the slope of your roof, that type of
thing.
Maybe
the direction your house is facing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just want to second what Don said. We always tell customers to start with Focus on Energy because they provide a great service to all of our customers and the other utilities that participate in the Focus on Energy program in terms of site assessments, providing technical information, and oftentimes financial assistance is available.
Absolutely. And again, I'll give the number to call if you'd like to join in, 1-800-642-1234. If you have a solar energy question, we'd love to hear from you, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Don, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, I wanted to plug the solar tours that are occurring this weekend. Friday is the business tour of solar businesses, and Saturday is the tour of solar homes. And the listener or anybody else can find out where there's a place by them by going to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association website, which is the-mrea.org. And I think they did an ad on your program.
Yeah.
So that's a way to actually go to a place and talk to people who have been living with solar for the last few years or so to find out what they did, what they thought about, who they used, how well it's worked for them.
And I just want to add to that as part of the Solar Decade Conference in the afternoon, there are optional bus tours that are actually leaving the Midwest Airlines Center. There's two buses leaving at 2 o'clock and two more buses leaving at 4 o'clock. There'll be a tour, one of the tours going up to the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee to see a PV system on the roof, and then they'll go on up to the Johnson Controls headquarters up in Glendale to see the largest PV system that's a tracking system. So it's a very large tracking system there. The tour is going out to the west side. At the same time, one will be going out to GE Healthcare in Waukesha to see the largest rooftop system in the state, and then over to Waukesha County Technical College to see a PV tracking system there as well. So those tours are included in the price of the Solar Decade registration fee, and people could take one or the other or do both of those tours. Or if they didn't want to go on the tours that day, as Don said, they could see some of the tours of some of the residential systems on Saturday and instead attend some of the breakout sessions at the Midwest Airlines Center that's also part of Solar Decade.
And again, that's Friday from 8 to 6, the conference, and certainly get involved with that. Just go to solardecade.com. You can register. Be sure to is there a button to click WPR, or do you type in WPR to get the $25 off?
I think there's there's a place on the website that would give a discount.
Okay. There's a place that said if you have a discount code, put it here. So the discount code is WPR2009.
WPR2009, okay. If you want $25 off. I had an email. Let's see. What did that person say here? He was wondering if there is a power loss when you – is there an energy loss from switching from AC to DC?
Yeah, there's some – some conversion losses there. It's not a lot, but there is some losses.
Typically, the inverters are between 90% and 95% efficient in converting one to the other.
Okay.
I mean, solar electric is initially direct current, and then it's converted to alternating current because the rest of the grid is alternating current. And
sure.
Almost all of our appliances work on alternating current.
Let's turn to Mary in Wild Rose next. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm just wondering I know this isn't necessarily a solar question, but I'm wondering about on-demand water heaters as opposed to the tank ones. I know other countries, they use the on-demand water heaters a lot.
Okay. And Carl, do you want to take that?
Well, that's a little outside of my area. I know that we do have some customers, or at least I've heard customers talking about it. I don't know if they're as popular in this part of the country as other parts. I actually talked to someone the other day who lives in Central Florida, and they said that they had purchased one, but I really know very little about them.
Well, they can be fairly efficient because you only use water when you need it, so you don't have to store water if you don't need it, and every time you store anything, there's going to be losses involved. On the con side, they are quite a bit more expensive than the typical water heaters. So I think the jury's kind of out still on whether this is the best application. I think it probably depends on the situation.
Yeah, and I think there are some times where you need more than one setup, which really adds to the expense, depending on the number of families or people in the household and so forth.
It's true.
Let's go to Mark in Wausau. Mark, hello to you.
Yeah, hi. I was calling with a follow-up to the earlier caller who was talking about a home monitoring unit for energy consumption. And in Wausau, we have Wisconsin Public Service, and they are partnering with Google.org, Google.org/power meter. And apparently the plan is they're rolling out is to have a little gadget on your computer screen where you can get more real-time feedback in terms of what your energy consumption is for the whole house. And I don't think it's available yet, but it's on the cusp. And I don't know if any other energy providers besides WPS is doing that, but it's something that was pretty exciting, and I thought I would just follow up with that.
Oh, thanks very much for calling. You guys, either of you, Don, are you aware of that? Or?
Yes, I am aware of it. And actually, Focus on Energy is now just started to partner with Wisconsin Public Service and all of their customers on some new innovations throughout their territory. And in particular, there's going to be a concentration of efforts in the town of Brilliant, which is in Calumet County.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be trying just about everything they can, including these power monitors. So there'll be direct feedback, something Carl talked about before.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Lynn in Reeseville, we're on to you now. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Well, I built a solar home about 25 years ago, and I used a different technology. I didn't use panels. And the basic function for that design was to decrease my energy consumption, not to actually make energy with that solar design. I'm wondering if that technology is something that's still being considered or utilized.
All right.
I think absolutely. I mean, passive solar design was important then. It's important now and will always be important. I think the more and more architects and designers and home builders are thinking about the whole house, how it's oriented, how it does utilize passive solar design. And those are all steps that I think are essential and should be done before someone would consider going into the capital equipment side of things and putting on solar panels. I mean, I think that's a good piece, too. But certainly what you did is more cost-effective right out of the box.
Yeah.
Also, when I started in the energy business about 25 years ago, one of the first projects I was involved with was working with super insulated passive homes, passive solar homes, which was a great idea. When energy prices dropped in the middle 1980s or so, it sort of lost favor, but it certainly made sense then. It makes sense now. And so you can basically cut the needs for heat to a very, very small amount, which solar can provide almost the total amount. And it's nice to hear from the listener that they were involved in that, and hopefully that technique has worked over the years.
And I just want to add to that, you know, both Don and I plugged both of our fabulous keynote speakers, but we also alluded to the fact that there are several breakout sessions through the day, and in the morning there is a breakout session on solar energy systems for architects and engineers. They're preparing your solar business for an uncertain future for people that are in the solar business or want to get into the solar business. There's a session on solar policy with some policymakers. There's large solar business cases with people from Johnson Controls and GE Healthcare on panels there to talk about their larger systems and why they've done it. So there's a variety of workshops, solar home developers panel with people who are actually developing solar-powered homes in Wisconsin. There's just a wide range of something for everyone who's interested in solar power at the Midwest Airlines Center on Friday.
Absolutely. And again, if you go to solardecade.com, solarlectric.com. You can get all the information on the conference and also signing up for it. And don't forget to put in WPR 2009 and the code for $25 off. What's the total cost, by the way, of the conference?
It's $125 minus the $25 for your listeners.
All right. Let's go to David in Ironwood, Michigan next. Hi, David.
Yes, I just was curious. You did go with the solar system. Which is better, having batteries or fuel cells to, you know, use a fuel cell to make either hydrogen? They got the hydrogen fuel cells and they got the wood alcohol fuel cells that when they run in reverse, you could make alcohol and then run it the other way. You get electricity. So if you could use your excess electricity, which is more right now the better, the batteries or the fuel cells?
Well, it depends if you're looking for cost or sort of the latest and greatest. I mean, if it's a cost issue, I think if a person's looking for some type of backup, I would probably go for batteries. But, you know, and I'm perhaps a little biased given that I work for the largest utility in the state, but I think utility power is pretty darn reliable. And most of our customers, and we have hundreds now that have solar, most of them are opting essentially to use the grid as their battery and not really have a battery system. Fuel cells, a little outside of my area of expertise, but I know they're pretty darn expensive.
Fuel cells are not only expensive, but they take a very pure concentration of hydrogen. So if the caller wanted to make hydrogen, I would have to be, you know, it's a fairly complex process. And as Carl was saying, almost everybody that we work with goes to the grid for their backup.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to mention in passing, some years back, living on the lake, I ran an electric line out to the shore, and I use electric power to raise and lower my lift of my boat hoist. And I see now some of my neighbors have little solar panels on top of their boat hoists. And I assume that they're, I haven't gone over and talked to the neighbors, but I assume they're charging a battery and using the battery power to raise and lower their boat.
Yeah, they're probably using the panel to charge the battery, but that may be more for controls than actually for moving it up and down. I'm not sure.
Could be. Yeah, could well be. I'll have to check with the neighbor and find out.
Yeah.
Let's go to Deb in Washington Island. Excuse me. Hi, Deb.
Hi. Great program. A couple of quick questions. Recently, the city of Sturgeon Bay put in solar panels that look like giant flowers for the fire department, and I'm wondering if that kind of an adaptation is more efficient than putting a fixed panel on my roof.
I think it adds cost, but from an aesthetic perspective, I've seen some of those as well, and they're kind of interesting. They're definitely interesting looking, and I know that some people prefer that kind of look. I mean, they can be done as a tracking system or as a fixed system. It's something obviously not on the rooftop. I've always thought, though, that one of the advantages of a rooftop solar system, that it's up there, it's out of sight, it doesn't move, really requires no maintenance, has a 25-year warranty. If you put something in your yard, you can see it. If you really want to look at it, you know, there it is. And obviously putting something in the shape of flowers adds an aesthetic perspective, and it makes it solar artwork.
Right. Well, I am refitting a farmhouse from the 1800s that my parents originally stripped down 40 years ago and wired and put in plumbing and put in heating. And I'm wanting to do a number of steps to make this house much more energy efficient and essentially to be able to sell energy back. First of all, do the rural cooperatives accept excess energy back payments, refunds? Is that the same as what you mentioned before?
Yeah, net metering is what Carl was referring to before. And I think there is a state law that they have to accept net metering, even the co-ops.
Yeah, I'm not entirely certain. I can't speak for the co-ops, but I believe that's what the state law requires. And I would assume that co-ops are fall under that same regulation, but I'm not absolutely certain.
We've had a number of applications where customers have put solar panels covering a whole part of the barn roof, which has been pretty effective and has a very Wisconsin feel to it. One other thing I might mention is in terms of trackers, you can get about 30% more energy from following the sun during the entire year with a tracker, but they do cost about 20% more.
Okay. this year I'm buying all new windows, and they'll be put in next year. What I'm trying to do is pace my expenditures, and I guess I'm wondering, what do you think is the first place to start? Is it best to start with did new roofing, but we have to blow in some insulation because this is one of those roofs that only has a peak under the room below it. You know, it doesn't have a central. And like I said, I'm buying the windows, but I am also intending to reside the house and make some exterior changes. So I'm wondering, would it be better to put the siding on both? Of course, if you have the money, it's nice to do the windows with the siding, but that's why I'm buying windows this year, is because I don't have the money to do both at once.
Focus on Energy has a program called Home Performance, where we actually have...
money's available for people that are below poverty.
Below poverty. Well, if your situation is below poverty, then there's either a low-income weatherization program that the state of Wisconsin runs, or Focus on Energy runs what's called a targeted weatherization program, which is for certain category of people, not completely low-income, but like 200% of low-income, where we would pay 90% of the cost of cost-effective weatherization measures. Typically, though, windows are not the most cost-effective thing you can do. It's nice to have new windows. However, in terms of a payback, you know, it's going to be way, way down the road.
Sure.
Compared to other things. So where would she find out more about? Just go to...
Well, the focusonenergy.com website, or you can call our 800 number, 762-7077, and talk to somebody there and get transferred to someone who would know more about it.
800-762-7077.
Right.
Yeah, could you give that initial online address with the WE in it?
Okay, well, you're not in the WE Energy's territory, so that wouldn't apply to you. You can check the Focus on Energy.com website. And, you know, really depends, though, if your co-op is a member of Focus on Energy. And co-ops have the right to either join the Focus program or not. And most of them have, but a few have not. I'm not sure about the Sturgeon Bay one.
So you need to check that out. But
yeah.
FocusOnEnergy.com, the place to go. And then finally, I want to just get back for a minute to the conference. Tell us again about the conference quickly there, Don.
Well, the conference is this Friday at the Midwest Airlines Center, and we've got 12 sessions discussing everything from Solar 101 to engineering architectural aspects of solar, how to incorporate solar in new homes, in retrofit homes, how you can have solar developments for homes, how you can get involved in businesses. If you want to create a business installing solar panels, there'll be people there to talk to. So it's a great opportunity for people to learn how they can get involved in solar. This is something that is going to be around for a while. The market is growing at 80%, and we expect it to grow in the future.
And this is really a world-class conference, and yet here it is virtually in our backyard at the Midwest Airlines Center in Milwaukee, and there are internationally known speakers, and it's really the largest solar conference within hundreds of miles.
So go to solardecade.com to register, and when you go there, there's a place where you can type in WPR 2009, is that correct?
That's right.
WPR 2009, and you will receive $25 off the $125 conference rate, so it'll only be $100 for the day.
Absolutely, and it's the conference really is from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., but people certainly can come and go. The 8 o'clock is really to visit the exhibitors and to have the continental breakfast. The actual speaking part of the conference kicks off at 9 o'clock. And the afternoon tours would get people back downtown at the Midwest Airlines Center by either 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, depending which tour they took.
Don, Carl, thank you both very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
No, well, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Larry.
Don Wickert is from Madison, director of Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program. Carl Segres from Milwaukee is Director of Renewable Energy at WE Energies, which, with Focus on Energy, is co-sponsoring this weekend's conference. Again, it's titled Wisconsin Solar Decade, 2005 to 2015. It's a one-day conference. this Friday from 8 to 6 at the Midwest Airline Center in Milwaukee. And go to solardecade.com for signing up and for more information about the conference. Appreciate having these guys with us today. Coming, and they'll be back. We'll have them on again, I'm sure of that. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Wisconsin's rich theatrical and architectural heritage. You know, there's a lot of communities around the country who have restored old opera houses and theaters. And there's a new book out about it. And I love the title. It's called Encore. It's written by Brian Doyle, and we're going to be visiting with him coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.